And good evening. Welcome in to Sports Talk on a Thursday here at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Michael Kaiser with you alongside Matt Daniels. Plenty to talk about on tonight's show. We have Illini Wrestling, some sad news report from there. Illini wrestler died last night in an accident. Also got NCAA tournament coverage and Illini football as well. But we can start there. Matt Daniels joins me here as Illini wrestler Francis Edlin was killed last night on Interstate 57 just north of Rantoul. And just a really sad story. And it was an accident right before that. He was out walking and got hit, and they're still trying to figure out who did that.
Yeah, it's tragic, tragic news. Anytime you have a traffic accident, something that results in a fatality, it's never something that you you want to see or hear by any stretch of the imagination. But to find out it's a current Illinois athlete and a guy that had so much potential and promise left in his life, and his life was pretty much just getting started too, and. To hear that he was an athlete that a lot of teammates knew and coaches on campus and things like that, it just really kind of hits home, and you just wish nothing but the best for his family, and I can't imagine going through something like that as traumatic as it is, and again, just it's devastating news and something you never want to hear.
Just heard from head coach Jim Heffernan of Illini Wrestling just a few minutes ago during the newscast as he was talking about the loss today, met with the media for just a few minutes. I can imagine it's just difficult for him as a coach to have to relay the message to the team who was on spring break and scattered. And he talked to us about the fact that he had to do it by text message. Yeah. Which is not something you normally would want to do.
No, exactly. And we had Jim Heffernan on Monday night at the Esquire, and his season just wrapped up this past Saturday with such a huge highlight for the program with Isaiah Martinez being an NCAA finalist and placing second, and Emery Parker coming back and finishing third and earning All-American honors. And, you know, he was joking on Monday night that he was able to, you know, do some things as a husband and father for the first time in a while since the grind of the season had ended. And I can imagine having to try to explain this to, like you said, Michael, they're all scattered across the country. I know Isaiah Martinez took an early morning flight back on Monday out to California, and everyone else on the team went home as well. And having to relay this information is hard enough, but to not be able to do it face-to-face or have a team meeting where you can kind of get all the emotions out and try to start you know, coping with this loss, it's just got to be extremely difficult.
Yeah, and a somber day for Fighting Illini Athletics. Again, Francis Edlin gone at the age of 21 in that accident last night. We're live at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. You can join the program 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. Podcast of this show and others are on our website and on iTunes. And be sure to come to Scotty's to watch every game left of the NCAA tournament. The Sweet 16 gets underway tonight. Former Illini coach Bruce Weber gets underway against Kentucky just a bit less than an hour from now. So plenty of TVs, 64 large-screen TVs, craft beer sports, 36 beers on tap to watch every game of the NCAA tournament. And it's not like the first 2 days where it's just like from 11 until like midnight where you got tons of games, but still plenty of big games left to
go. Yeah, the buzz isn't as extreme as I would say it was last Thursday just because you knew it was wall-to-wall basketball all day, but some very intriguing matchups take place tonight. First off with Loyola Chicago against Nevada, and the area connections on both those teams with Dante Ingram, Loyola Chicago guard, former Danville native, and then Jordan Caroline, son of Simeon Rice, grandson of J.C. Caroline, playing for Nevada, and he started his high school career at Champaign Central, so you're going to have one player that used to play in the Big 12 conference here locally moving on to the Elite Eight on Saturday. And then if Kansas State can pull kind of an upset and knock off Kentucky, then you've got former Illinois coach Bruce Weber into the Elite Eight as well. So the South region, which is going on tonight and tips off in about an hour, will have a lot of interesting storylines for people here in East Central Illinois.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that as we go along tonight. Coming up at about 5:20, former Illini football player Ty Washington, also called the Grenade back when he played for Illinois football, going to join us here, talk about Illini football and his role and what he thinks about the buzz with recruiting, which is picking up. Illinois got a grad transfer just earlier this afternoon. Trying to find it here on my list. Jalen Green, a wide receiver, grad transfer, second grad transfer for wide receiver. Shaden Metters committed earlier last year. but the third one with A.J. Bush just last week.
Yeah, it seems Illinois is stocking up their roster and getting some key players that may be able to help out in 2018 with grad transfers. It's kind of becoming more of a trend in college football. Obviously, in college basketball, we're all well aware of the impact that fifth-year seniors can have. But Illinois is adding some guys at some key skill positions, and to add some depth will certainly help. And we'll see what Green can bring to the table when he joins Illinois this summer.
I think the experience thing, though, you mentioned the fifth years, and I think that right now Illinois is lacking in experience. I mean, the senior class is in the single digits.
Yeah.
I mean, so like, you need some kind of experience, even if they're role players and they're not going to have a bunch of big numbers. At least you have guys on the roster who have played college football, regardless of the level, and can come in and help this team and help these younger guys learn how to play at this level.
Yeah, and you hope with guys like that, they just kind of come in and be a positive contribution to the team and in the locker room. Whatever they are able to produce on the field is almost gravy at this point, just because you weren't expecting to get that production out of them. But you don't want them to come in and be a distraction or be a cancer to the team at all. And it worked out well for Hardy Nickerson in his only season at Illinois in 2016, led the team in tackles at the linebacker spot, filled a huge void on that particular team, and brought kind of his steady leadership that has since translated into him, you know, getting a shot in the NFL with the Cincinnati Bengals. So that's the best case scenario that can happen out of a fifth year transfer, and we'll see if Jalen Green can kind of have a similar effect for the Illini offense in 2018.
Yep, and commitment tomorrow potentially. Waiting for that. We'll talk about more of that in just a few minutes, maybe with Ty. But a tweet I wanted to mention: Illinois football tweeted out Isaiah Williams, also known as Juice, not the Isaiah Williams that we're all waiting for tomorrow, and just said legend. Throwback Thursday, but there's a little bit of undertone with that tweet.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely some, like you said, Michael, some undertone with that. And
I loved it, for the record.
Yeah, it was good. It was creative. That's what social media, the good side of social media can be at times. And, Isaiah Williams, the class of 2019 prospect at Trinity Catholic, hinted earlier this week on his Twitter account that he's going to announce on Friday, and he's a five-star prospect, the Gatorade Player of the Year in Missouri last season, a dual-threat quarterback. Not the biggest guy right now. He's about 5'11", 170 pounds, but he can add to that frame. But Illinois might have an edge on that just because he played at Trinity Catholic, which is where Corey Patterson was the head coach the last three seasons, and now Corey Patterson is on Lovie Smith's staff as the tight ends coach. And his big pitch in coming here was being able to recruit the St. Louis area. So if Illinois can kind of pull off a coup and get Williams to commit, that'd be a huge lift for the program, because you've got all the big boys in college football going after him as well, with Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, LSU. So if a guy like that who has offers to play at those programs can spurn those and come to Champaign, that's like I said, that's a huge coup for Illinois.
And to win five games in two seasons, to get Marquez Beeson almost two weeks ago, and to get Isaiah Williams. And Marquez has got to be one of the best recruiters I've ever seen, at least on Twitter, for Illinois football. High-level players choosing Illinois when Illinois hasn't won games in a long time. That says something to me about this staff and the recruiting and just where they have connections to, with Andrew Haystoker in Texas and Corey Patterson, you mentioned, down in St. Louis. And I think that could really turn this program, because they need players. It's football, though. You can't just get a couple players here and there and be okay. Like, you need players all over the field.
Yeah.
Unlike basketball, you can get one recruit and change things around if he's good enough. But football's different. But if they can start to fill this in multiple spots, it could really help.
Yeah, I mean, you think back to what the program is like under Ron Zook, when they were to get a five-star like Aurelius Benn, and just the difference that he became in the program. And like you said, they need other key components as well to fill out the roster and help at certain skill positions. But if they're able to land Isaiah Williams tomorrow, that is by far the biggest commit that Lovie Smith has landed in his 2 years here in Champaign, and possibly the biggest one since probably Aurelius Benn back in the 2000s.
Well, stay with us. Coming up next, former Illini football player Ty Washington. Get his thoughts on Isaiah Williams recruiting this offseason and his connection to the program these days and how he's doing, what he's up to. The Grenade joins us next here on Sports Talk on a Thursday at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. If you're hungry, when the game start, 12 wings for $12. Can't beat that deal here at Scotty's Brewhouse, located at 2001 South Neal in Champaign. Stay with us here on Sports Talk.
Today at NewsGazette.com, Tate Lines Unedited, the podcast featuring Lauren Tate's memories of Bruce Weber as Illinois' basketball coach.
this thing is unpredictable. Who is playing well at the time? It's not like seed. Who cares about seed now? Seeds don't matter. It's who's playing well. And if you're playing well, you advance. If you're not playing well, guess what? You don't advance.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on a Thursday, live at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. I'm Michael Kaiser alongside Matt Daniels. Thanks for joining us tonight. Come out tonight to watch the NCAA tournament. The Sweet 16 gets underway. 12 wings for $12 during the tournament all the way through Sunday. Same thing for next week during the Final Four. So plenty of chance to get some good wings for really cheap, just $1 a wing. Scotty's Brewhouse, the perfect craft beer sports bar with 36 beers on tap and 64 large screen TVs. Every Thursday here at Scotty's, enjoy all day $2 well drinks, half-price cheese pizza, and $2 cans of select beers and $4 margaritas. That was John Calipari. Faces Bruce Weber coming up in the next hour. Is Kansas State looking to go to the Elite Eight? It'll be Bruce's first appearance in the Elite Eight since 2005. And so we'll see how Bruce does tonight against Kentucky. He's been playing better down the stretch. Well, joining us now, former Illini football player Ty Washington, the Grenade, joins us here at Scotty's. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right. You know, every time I hear that word grenade, it makes me laugh. But, I'm doing okay.
Well, you've told us the story before, but for people who haven't heard, how did you get that name?
Oh, well, grenade happened one day in practice. We were doing a punt. Block.
Mm-hmm.
We were doing punt block drills, and Coach Kosh, I blocked the punt, and then I jumped on him. Coach Kosh, which was the linebacker coach at that time, said I looked like I would jump on a grenade for, you know, my squad if I was in the military. So after that, he said, I'm going to start calling you Grenade, and it just took off after that.
Do you still get called that today, or is it just me calling you that?
No. I still get called that today. Every now and then, somebody that have seen me play. You know, they'll say, oh, the grenade.
Well, I know you came back and you were working on school. What are you doing these days right now?
Right now I'm just developing my company that I got. It's called Four Downs Sports Academy. What we do is competitive 7-on-7 and football training. Mm-hmm. So we develop the players into a good 7-on-7 team, and we go into national tournaments and compete against other teams towards, you know, Chicago, mm-hmm. Indianapolis, St. Louis. So it's a good situation, you know, because we've been lacking that here in the Central Illinois. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't have that. Up north, you have like 20-something teams.
Oh, okay.
You know, here in Central Illinois, you know, I believe it's only two of us right now.
When did 7-on-7 become this huge phenomenon? Obviously, in your high school career, I don't think it was as prevalent.
Okay. Now, remember, when I was in high school, 7-on-7 was more as in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, it's like everybody put their teams together. So it's not going through the high school. It's club teams.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like AAU football.
Yes. Which is good, because the problem we have is that in the Midwest and cold places, mm-hmm. we hibernate.
Yeah.
You know, we once football is over after playoffs, we hibernate mm-hmm. until next June.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, whenever fall summer camp starts.
Yeah.
So this is a way. It's indoor. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, your wide receivers, your quarterbacks, your DBs and linebackers.
Yeah.
You just get a chance to work. So once June and August come, you're ready to go instead of now let's start playing football after I didn't sat for 4 months or mm-hmm. whatever it is.
That's a long time of sitting down. And as a football player, how difficult is it at that level just to pick it back up again after sitting down for that long?
Well, the thing about it is, remember, these kids are also playing other sports.
Yeah, that's true.
So your mentality changed. Your football is different than wrestling. Wrestling is, you know, basketball or track. So you're switching your thing around. Now, what the 7-on-7 does is that you can still be on the baseball team or the track team and still come out and do this, because this happens, you know, on Sundays. You know, we do this on Sundays. So it's like the tournaments are like one day mm-hmm. on Sundays. You may have some that's 2 days, but it does not interfere with what you're doing in high school sports.
What's it like, the challenges or maybe the feedback you get from college coaches that go to these 7-on-7 events and what they might see at all? Or is it still kind of in its infancy stages, where it's not like in July for AU basketball, you've got 30 D1 coaches there, right? Courtside.
Coaches are there.
Okay.
Coaches are there. I tell you, Jimbo Fisher, he has a son he has mm-hmm. a son that's, I believe, a quarterback on one of the Texas teams mm-hmm. Down where he's at. Mm-hmm. So the coaches are there.
Yeah.
it's I mean, it's just another way to evaluate players. Mm-hmm. I believe that this is one of the great opportunities as a player. If you're committed, mm-hmm. if you're serious about playing, then this is one of the best things you could do,
yes.
because you got another platform to get out there and play and show your skills.
What's your connection to the Atlanta football program right now? I know that April 7th, there's a reunion mm-hmm. coming up. That's the spring practice, not
right.
the game. There is no game.
Right.
I haven't had a game in a couple of years.
Don't get me started.
But we don't have quarterbacks right now, I guess. I mean, you had a lot of spring practice when you were here. So, I mean, there's not a scholarship quarterback outside of Cam Thomas. They have walk-ons. How hard is it to do a game like that when you don't have enough quarterbacks besides the walk-ons?
You know what? Tell you the truth, I wouldn't know, because when I was here, you know, we always had the spring game.
Yeah.
I mean, the spring game was just – it was something that was – you knew was coming. If you couldn't wait for it, because it was after all 15 days of camp or 14 days or however many days it was, you battling each other, but you get this game before you get ready, you know, because once summer come, now you got to wait all the way to August in order to get back to football pass. But, and plus the students get to come out, and I mean, it was great. It was always great. Yes, it's rough when you have when you're missing players, you don't have a quarterback or you don't have a scholarship quarterback or whatever. But me personally, put the game on. Put the game on.
Well, who's coming back for the reunion?
Well, you know what? I've got some good feedback. We got a lot of people coming back. You know what? I know. I talked to Dana Howard the other week. I know he's coming back. Talked to Kevin Hardy. He's trying to make sure he's come back. So, and hopefully, I'm trying to get the trifecta. I'm trying to get, you know, I talked to Holosek today.
Yeah. Get all the H boys back.
Yeah, I'm trying to get all the H boys back. You know, Holosek, he has that team, you know, his team up there. He has a lot of kids to deal with. But hopefully, he's coming too. So, if I'm trying to pull it off and get the H boys back.
What's the relationship right now? You hear coaches when they get hired, like Brad Underwood in basketball, trying to have former players come back and be a part of the program, be around the program.
Right.
What is that like right now?
Well, I mean, I would say this. You know, for the people that come here, the alumni that are in town, I believe there's full access. I mean, I've seen some practices. I went out there when they were practicing over there at that field that.
Last summer. Training.
You know,
camp.
I went over there and you know, saw some, got the chance, you know, walk on the field with the players and everything. So, you know, it's fine. I mean, the thing about it is, all we care about is that you know, football, good product is put on the field, and they're getting better every year as alumni. You know, that's what we care about. We go be behind them. I'm orange and blue till I die. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like, you know, I'm gonna turn away from them. You know, we just want to make sure that the product keeps getting better.
When you were getting recruited to come to Illinois, what was the perception of the program like at that stage in the early 90s at all?
Oh, well, I'll tell you. When I was getting recruited, it was about defense. I mean, that's – so let me step back 1 second. I used to come down here for camps. You know, and Lou Tepper was the defensive coordinator there. And I used to come down. I was a linebacker, but I was, you know, I was like 5'10", 175 pounds. But I used to come all the time to the camps here. And, you know, I enjoyed it. And the players, defense players that I met at the camps, and it was all great. I came down to watch some games when I was playing in high school. And it was just something great. It was magical.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew I had to be here. Now, you know, before that, it was between – so it came down between Notre Dame and Illinois, actually. So –
you know, today if someone choose Notre Dame or it came down between Notre Dame and Illinois and they chose Illinois, people would probably throw you a welcome party into town.
Yeah, but but the thing about it was this. Hey, I got to fight for my state. I got to play under Coach Tepper, which is a great defensive mind. And I just felt at home with the players that I met on my recruiting trip. So it was a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't last too long. I took the visit to Notre Dame, and I was like, okay. And I took the visit to Illinois, and I was like, hey, that's where. And plus, the position that I played, I mean, I felt it was made for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Ty Washington join us here on Sports Talk on a Thursday at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Every Monday through Thursday at Scotty's features $4 house margaritas and $12 wings for $12 during the NCAA tournament. Now, Ty, you kind of, when you said you went to Notre Dame, you're like, it's okay. It's Notre Dame. It's, right. I mean, the, you know, come
okay,
on.
Okay, so, all right.
I'm not saying pick Notre Dame or Illinois. I'm just saying, like,
okay, probably, you're right. You
it's
know,
a nice campus. I've been to the campus.
Yeah, it's a very nice campus. I mean, I don't know. It's, I guess my whole thing was I was real big on fighting for my state. I like that thought of it, you know, because, you know, at that time, I mean, I don't know if it's changed by now, but at that time, we were the only team that had our, you know, state on the helmet.
Yeah.
We were the only one that had it at that time. So it was just something about that. I mean, we wasn't, you know, we didn't have flashy uniforms and things like that, but it was just something about it. It was hard-nosed with, as you say, lunch pail guys that come in. And plus, when I got here, got to play with some of the best defensive players. I mean, come on. I played on a team with two Buckus Award winners, Outland Trophy winner. And, I mean, it's
– What was maybe the first moment for you when you set foot on campus or at a practice or a workout that you knew that, okay, Dana Howard, he's really good?
Well, I tell you what, I'll go back and I'll say something else. Before that even happened, you go into your position meetings, and you see that your free safety is 6'4", 240 pounds, Marlon Primus. You know, and one thing that I used to love is that they sat you down and told you how to be in a lineup. They told you what they expected. You did it, or they got on you. Like, we self-police. It was, you know, it wasn't like you just ran wild. We'll let you go. No, I mean, Marlon Primus was he was one that pretty much taught me how to be a DB here. And then when you get on practice, when you get the full group around, now you got Hollisack, you got Howard, and then a year later Rice came. I mean, it was surreal. It was surreal. So you have to step your game up in order to be able to play with them. I mean, what, in 94? I mean, that defense we had in 94?
They were good.
I mean.
Yeah, they were okay. Just all right.
You got to, I mean, you just got to remember, we were averaging the first, like, six games. They were, teams were averaging negative 146 yards.
Wow.
Total. I mean, that right there, you rarely see that. And the problem was, the good part about it, we were going to meetings. And you still see people policing each other like, hey, you messed up here as a player to another player before even coach get to it. But that's how
well
it was.
Guys are still.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
say,
how
hey,
it was.
This isn't okay.
And you know what? And you know, he doesn't get a lot of publicity a lot of times, but Hollisack was the one that ran that defense. Like, you couldn't even talk in the huddle. You could not talk in a huddle when Hollisack was talking. If you did, Hollisack would stop you. I'll just say that. I'll just say that.
It was foreshadowing for his high school coaching career.
Right. He'll stop. He would stop you. But the thing about it was, we all respected each other, and we knew that we had to do our job so everybody else can do their job. And then as a total unit, we would just, you know, go be bad. You know what I'm saying? You know, we would just go be them people.
We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. We want to talk to Ty about the recruiting buzz, recruiting momentum going on right now, and what, when he sees big-time players wanted to go to Illinois, would he have had the same reaction? Of course, Twitter wasn't around back when you were playing. But does it draw more big-time players? And we'll get Ty's comments on that and how recruiting's going. That's coming up next here on Sports Talk.
Hi, it's Dave Gentry. Join us on the DWS Morning Show for local attorney Steve Beckett. It's that time once again, Friday on DWS.
Present a lot of problems. They can space you out, they pass, they have good ball movement, they have good body movement where they move well without the basketball, and then on defense they just play with great effort.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Michael Kaiser alongside Matt Daniels live at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Game's getting underway at 6:07 tonight. Scotty's Brewhouse is the place to be for the NCAA tournament. 12 wings for $12, 64 large screen TVs. Your home for beers, burgers, and sports here at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign, located at 2001 South Neal. So we've got plenty of games. Four games tonight. Loyola plays tonight. Bruce Weber plays tonight. Loyola plays against Nevada. And that was Nevada's head coach, Eric Musselman, who has, you mentioned Jordan Caroline on the team, Simeon Rice's son. Of course, you just mentioned Simeon Rice earlier. So I'm guessing you're pulling for Nevada tonight, Ty.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nevada.
How's your bracket?
Oh, I tore that up. I think within the first 2 minutes of the whole tournament started. I don't even think I made it out of the first four. You know, my bracket's always horrible.
Well, UMBC, they probably blew everybody's bracket. But I just learned something new today, that the president of UMBC is an alum of the University of Illinois. Yeah.
Really?
And I don't know why I didn't know that. I just totally admit he probably knew that. He probably knew that for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why he's the sports editor.
Yeah, right.
Matt Dan is the sports editor at the News Gazette. Well, I mentioned before the break, recruiting, the momentum, the buzz, it's there right now.
Right.
Top players in the country are talking about Illinois, at least on Twitter anyway. Marquez Beeson committed almost 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Isaiah Williams looks like he might commit to Illinois tomorrow. He's a five-star out of St. Louis, and that is picking up steam. How much does that help from a perception standpoint when guys at that level are talking about Illinois and seriously considering Illinois and even committing to Illinois? Because Marquez Beeson just yesterday said, because there's a report he's going to visit Ohio State, and he came out and said, that's not happening.
Okay.
Like, I'm not visiting anywhere but Illinois, which I think probably makes you feel good as a former Illinois football player, that a player of his caliber is going to stay true to his commitment for now. Just what does that do when you get that kind of buzz from that many top players in terms of filling out the rest of the class?
Well, you know, the difference between, you know, recruiting when I was here and recruiting now, is a good thing about it is they can go ahead and spread the word. So, hey, I'm going to Illinois. Why don't you come with us? We can do something special here. And then you get another person and another person. So, I mean, it's great. I mean, it's great. We can start getting some five stars in here. I mean, you know, I've never really been a guy about the stars.
Yeah.
I know they put that out there, but it's just the thing about it is you get some good talent in here, and then we start turning this thing around. I mean, because the ship is ready to turn.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it right, you know. So I'm glad that they're spreading it around, and it'll be maybe, you know, group, and you keep on spreading this out, and you get a big group in, and the next you know, hey, we in Pasadena, or we in the college playoff. You know,
Ty, what did you see last year from some of the freshmen that Lovie Smith started? A lot of true freshmen last year, I think most probably in the country. Now those guys are going to be sophomores
right.
This year, and they're going to have to take on even more of a huge role in this upcoming
season. I thought that, you know, some of the freshmen, you know, they did great.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is it's always you're fighting uphill when, you know, you're a true freshman playing.
Exactly.
It's not so many true freshmen that's going to play and dominate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is how many Simeon Rices you going to have.
Yeah.
You know. But, I mean, if you could have 22, that'd be great. But, you know, I believe they got some good, you know, good experience, experience by fire. But, you know, the problem is you also want to have your team to be able to come in and learn, you know, learn a little bit, learn what the Big Ten is, you know, learn what national D1 playing, you know, football playing is, instead of just being thrown in. Because, hey, some of these kids was, you know, just talking about prom, you know, months before. You know, because I know for a fact that I wasn't ready to play when I got in. I mean, I just wasn't. I mean, hey.
I talked to Joey Bose, Lauren and I did a couple weeks ago about, I asked him, I said, what would be your preference if you had a choice when freshmen come in? Do you want them all to yourself for that entire first season in a red shirt? And he said, yeah, I would, but I also want the best players on the field. So because they something like Nate Hobbs got mono last summer, and so that set him back from a working out standpoint, and he still played pretty well down the stretch of the season. But from a foreign player perspective, how much do you need that first season just in the weight room with the strength and conditioning
coach?
There
you go. And you hit it, and to me, you hit it on the head. I didn't know how to lift weights. Like properly.
I still don't.
We see that. But
thanks.
You know, I didn't know how to lift weights properly. So you need, in a sense, that first year, I didn't know how to eat properly because you just eat. You're not, you know, it's not a nutritionist.
You're in college.
Yeah,
you're
right.
You're on your own for the first time.
Yeah, right. You're on your own. Yeah. You know, mom and dad is not telling you what to eat. So you got to learn how to eat. You got
to
learn how
home.
To lift. Right. You got to learn how to work out on your own. I mean, so I believe that, you know, that red shirt is vital, but and especially with a physical game like football. Basketball is different. You know, you can come in one and done and it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you are, you know, you're going against grown men out here. So I believe you have to be at the top of your body's, you know, plateau. But the thing about it is this, is that, you know, hey, if you got the best, if there's some freak of nature come through, oh, yeah, you better go out there.
Well, and as you look at this, this is, I would imagine, a critical offseason right now for the guys that played a lot last year.
Right.
What and mentally, how do you go about the offseason as a player when you played that much as a freshman and probably got pushed around quite a bit?
Right.
Mentally, how do you prepare yourself, even away from the weight room?
Well, the thing about it is this, is that, you know, as a freshman, I'm sure you made a lot of freshman mistakes. So a lot of times you probably got beat. You know, in the film room, you're probably sitting there talking about, hearing from the coach what you did wrong. The thing about it is you learn from that, but you forget it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to forget it, because if you go into your sophomore year playing, true sophomore year playing, thinking about all the mistakes you made freshman year, it's going to hold you back.
Freezes you on the
field. Yeah, you're just because you'd be thinking, man, I kept making that mistake last time. Well, the thing about it is that's why you watch film. And that's why, like I said, you want the red shirt so you can learn how to watch film. So you got to eat.
Yep.
You got to lift weights and learn how to watch film. So, but now you are learning on the field. You got to talk to older players.
Yeah.
You know, what do I need to do? I mean, because a lot of my knowledge came from the older players that were already there. I mean, you know, you get your coaches' knowledge, but then, you know, you get your players' knowledge on the field, because they say, hey, watch this. This is what I saw last year. This is what I saw. You know, they don't want you to get caught up in the mix of, you know, that sophomore jinx or whatever you want to call it, any kind of thing you put out there. But, yeah, you just get forget it. Next season, get better.
Looking back on your 4-year career at Illinois, mm-hmm. what's the one shining moment, the one highlight that keeps getting replayed in your head even all these years later?
Wow, I would have to say when we went up to Ann Arbor, beat Michigan.
You had a lot of them.
It was just because I believe at that, somebody need to fact check me on this one, but I believe at that moment it had been like 46 years since we beat them at Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. I believe it was something like that. I remember we was watching the video, the motivation video the day, night before, and they were showing the last time he won, and uh-huh. I swear they had leather helmets on. I mean, it was –
Red Grange playing that game?
Yeah, it probably was.
I think Lauren Tate was on the sideline probably.
Most likely.
Right.
Yeah, no problem.
But, yeah, so, I mean, and then we went out there, and I remember warming up. And I'll tell you this one, a little short story. We were warming up and getting ready to play, and it's already big. We're in a big house. They mm-hmm. go blue, and it's rumbling the field.
Yeah.
And then we go back into the locker room, go in before the game, and you come back out. We had new pants in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was something small.
Yeah. You
know, people go in now. They
or
had
the blue pants.
Right, yeah. They had the blue pants. Mm-hmm. First time we wore the blue pants. Went back in there. It was just a whole different different feeling. It was just some, and while we was getting dressed, though, some alumni for Michigan was standing outside. They had to be 120 years old. They had to be. They were singing the Michigan fight song outside of our locker room. Uh-huh. I mean, but it was just the atmosphere was hot. Uh-huh. Ricky Powers was sitting pointing at his watch when they would go run out the clock. Simeon made the fumble, recovered the fumble. Mm-hmm. Johnny went down there and scored it. I mean, that right there. Was something else.
Yeah, when Johnny threw that touchdown pass to Jim Klein, what was going through your mind?
I think my eyes were closed. I think I was praying. I may have been crying. I mean, uh-huh. I don't know what I was doing. I mean, but after it was done, I just, but think about it was, we thought, you know, we used to go in every game knowing we can win. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the mentality you got to have.
Yeah.
No matter what your record ends up, you have to go in knowing you can. No matter who we play. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ohio State used to come in ranked number one, number mm-hmm. five, and we beat them like five times in a row. So, I mean, it was like nothing to us. And don't ever bring up the Penn State game, ever. I see you over there, Mike.
I know.
Don't ever bring up the Penn State game. So, I mean, we were what? Maybe 30 seconds from one.
I'm not bringing it up, Ty. I don't know what game you're talking about.
Right now I'm in therapy about that. Still about that.
I remember that game. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
I was like 11, 12 years old. So,
he put the age out there.
I'm really young. Well, Ty, thanks so much for coming out tonight. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue to watch this recruiting as it goes this offseason.
You know what? I'm going to put one selfish plug in.
Go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Yeah, one selfish plug in. So for anybody out there who has a son from 7th grade to 11th grade, we are out at Zanfield from 1 to 3 getting ready for this 707. So if he's committed and he wants to get better, Zanfield 1 to 3, 2502 South Staley.
Each Sunday?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday?
Every Sunday, okay. 1 to 3. Every Sunday, one.
Do they need to contact anybody or just show up?
Yeah, you know what? If there's any questions about it, call me 708-856-5487 or you can go to the website at 4downsportsacademy.com.
4downsportsacademy.com.
You see the four in there?
Yeah.
Remember my number?
Yeah.
Yeah, see the four?
Yeah, yeah, I do. That's Ty Washington, former Illini football player of the Grenade here at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. We'll come back. We'll talk more about the NCAA tournament coming up here in just a few minutes. The first game of the night. There are four games tonight. The Sweet 16 gets underway. 12 wings for $12. You can't beat that deal during the NCAA tournament. That's all the way through Sunday. So enjoy the games here at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. We'll come back with that here on Sports Talk on a Thursday.
This is Brian Barnhart. Join me on Friday, Penny, for your thoughts, an open line, as well as a visit with the Tom Jones Challenger League, courtesy of Kiwanis. It comes up tomorrow morning starting at 9 on Penny for Your Thoughts.
You know, you can talk about remembering a guy. I still can't believe he's gone. So first thing we got to get over is the fact that he's no longer with us. He's a 21-year-old kid. It's entirely too early. For me, that's the first thing we got to get over before we start remembering him.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here at Scotty's Brewhouse in Champaign. Michael Kaiser, Matt Daniels with you for just a few more minutes. That is Illini wrestling coach Jim Heffernan talking about the death of Francis Edlin, who was killed earlier today, or late last night, I should say, in an accident on Interstate 57. He was walking on the interstate after being involved in a vehicle accident, and he was hit and killed. State police still searching for the vehicle or vehicles involved in that accident. We talked about it earlier in the show, and just you could just kind of hear it in Jim's voice. He was just struggling to find words, and one thing that stuck out to me, though, was that he said, you know, I'm not ready to talk about remembering him. We're just still trying to get this actually happened.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said earlier, they're on spring break this week, and this is something that no coach, no parent, no teammate ever wants to have to go through or deal with at this stage in their life. And to have someone so young, you know, tragically pass away in an accident that seemingly could have been prevented. It's just there are no words right now. It's just it's an unspeakable tragedy, and you just hope everyone that is directly affected by it just gets through it the best way that they can.
Yeah, and several Illini wrestlers have been tweeting out throughout the day, and just they were again find out by text messages because they're on spring break and they're scattered across the country, and they couldn't come together as a team to break the news, and so just a tough way to do that. And I could tell Jim didn't like doing it that way either. Well, I mentioned we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament before we wrap up today's show. Loyola Chicago, the 11 seed, taking on the 7 seed Nevada Wolfpack. Jordan Caroline on that team. And then, of course, Deontay Ingram, formerly from Danville, is on Loyola Chicago. Of course, he finished his career up in Chicago.
Went to Chicago Simeon, transferred after his first two seasons at Danville, just like Jordan Caroline left Champaign Central after his first two seasons with the Maroons, went to Mount Verde, the big prep academy, and in Florida, and was high school teammates with Ben Simmons and D'Angelo Russell and Ingram. Won a few state titles with Simeon, and kind of was a reserve / sixth man at Simeon, but he's really elevated his game at Loyola Chicago, and now one of them will get to play in the Elite Eight on Saturday, and possibly get to next week's Final Four.
Number 7 Texas A&M takes on number 3 Michigan. Number 9 Kansas State will try to take down vaunted Kentucky, ranked as the 5th seed, and Florida State, with a big come from behind win, will take on Gonzaga, who's the 4th seed. And Nevada shouldn't be there either. I turned that game off.
Yeah, they were down 20. 22 points, I think, to Cincinnati last Sunday in Nashville, and then rallied for a win. And that comeback magic happened in the second game in Nashville last Sunday when Florida State took down Xavier. I think everyone thought Xavier might have been overseeded as a 1, and it would probably be one of the number ones that wouldn't make the Final Four. And Leonard Hamilton and the Seminoles proved it to be true. So Florida State's got a shot against Gonzaga, and although Gonzaga is playing real well and knocked off Ohio State last Saturday, Zach Norvell, another Chicago Simeon product,
another Illinois kid
playing deep into March for another team. He stepped up big the first two games for the Zags, and we'll see if he can keep it going.
We're at Scotty's Brewhouse here in Champaign. I got a text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. What do you guys think about Penny Hardaway coaching his alma mater, Memphis? No head coaching experience, at least in college. He has high school head coaching experience, coaching a lot of top players in Memphis. And I thought it was an interesting change after 2 years getting rid of Tubby Smith and bringing in Hardaway. But I think it could be recruiting related, or that Tubby had some interesting last few weeks, especially with his lawyer is saying some things as
well. Well, I think the fact that we're even talking about the Memphis coaching job, you know, speaks to kind of the effect that they had on hiring Penny Hardaway, who was a great player at Memphis State, and then had a few great seasons in the NBA before injuries really wrecked his pro career. But he's done at the high school level, the AAU level, and he's getting some buzz right now, and we'll see if he's got the you know, capabilities to get Memphis back into a consistent NCAA program. But I think it's a win-win for Memphis. He's an alum with huge name recognition and wants to give college coaching a shot. And if he succeeds, it's, you know, bonus. And if he fails, well, he still played really well at Memphis back in the day.
And it was unfortunate, the injuries in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's too – I mean, he was a great NBA player,
he
too.
He was.
Played with Shaq, and they had a really great team. And then, that, of course, Shaq left him and went to the Lakers.
It's true.
That worked out okay for Shaquille O'Neal, though.
It did.
Well, that's going to do it for tonight's show. Thanks so much for former Illini football player Ty Washington joining us. Of course, we talked about a lot about the NCAA tournament as well. Scotty's Brewhouse, come to that. Watch the NCAA tournament. 64 large-screen TVs, craft beer, sports bar, 36 beers on tap. And, again, don't forget, 12 wings for $12. And I've been saying that a lot. Eventually, I might just have some.
You might just have to have some, Michael.
But it's only during the NCAA tournament.
Got to hurry, then.
So you got to come out here and watch the NCAA tournament to get that deal. That's going to do it for tonight's show. Thanks to Blake Landa here for the engineer on site at Scotty's Brewhouse. Thanks to Tamara McDaniel back and the News Gazette Media Center in downtown Champaign. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening.